BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Shane, that's got two words for you. Drop it.
It's old school edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs, from autographs, from all your favorite wrestlers to sports, athletes, celebrities, and beyond. Go to MemLanePromo.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, and joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
Hello, all.
We got 3 hours of Monday Night Raw to get into. It was old school night, so all the legends were in the house tonight. You had everyone on this show tonight. Just about. That you could possibly think of. Well, sort of.
No, we had everyone. We even had a certain hairless dead man on tonight.
You mean...
Yep.
That one?
He's back! And by the way, bravo to WWE's art department for photoshopping his hair out of the picture. Well done.
Yes, Monday Night Raw opened with this. I was in the other room, getting ready for Raw. All of a sudden, I hear the gong. I have to rush to the TV. And, you know, it's The Undertaker. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? And all he does is walk to the... down onto the entrance, and, you know, the WrestleMania logo appears on the Titantron, and that's a sign of things to come tonight. The Undertaker is in the house, and apparently he's going to WrestleMania tonight.
And he wore that god-awful raincoat.
He wore his... Sunday best, the Super Shredder outfit tonight for Monday Night Raw.
Hate that raincoat. Hate that raincoat. Anyway, go on.
So, yes, The Undertaker is here. It kicks off a hot start to the show. Undertaker is back for the first time since Raw 1000 at a Raw. This ain't a house show, just so everyone's clear. Then we open up with a really nice old-school video package narrated by Mean Gene talking about how the past and present are coming together for Raw.
Yes, it was. It was good. It was a nice video package, except when we came back, I was a little confused.
Confused, she says. Like, there's this big grand entrance, and you go to a video package, and then, poof, he's gone.
He's gone! Where did he go? It's like, okay, well, that's different. The Tiger just vanishes. He just goes poof, and he's gone.
You blink, you miss it. It's the Undertaker, and then he's gone. And where is he? Well, we'll find out later in the show. But how came CM Punk to open up the show officially? Punk started by saying he should be main eventing WrestleMania, and he should be defending the WWE title at WrestleMania, but he's not. Punk said it's not because of what he did or did not do, but it was because of the fans. He was proclaiming that they stole it from him, he said. Punk accused the crowd of screwing him. You know, he said, you did. Pointing around ringside to everyone there, he said they only screwed themselves because if he's not in the main event of WrestleMania, there's no reason for him to even be at WrestleMania. Well, he has a point. If he's not in the main event, why should he be at WrestleMania? He was the longest reigning WWE champion in the last 25 years.
Oh, well, you know, it helps if I take myself off mute.
I'm sitting here waiting, and she's on mute.
Sorry. I'm eating a cookie. What do you want from me? I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought Punk's delivery is always fantastic at CM Punk. I mean, how can you not compliment his promos?
And then it got even better. Punk said what he just saw, though, actually gave him a purpose. Punk looked right into the camera and said he's going to take from the audience by beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Punk said that people like the streak and 20-0, but they roll their eyes whenever he mentions his 434-day title reign. He says he backs it up in the ring, whereas the fans have done nothing their entire lives. Punk said he has a new number for the audience, 20-1. He said the one is drug-free, alcohol-free, and straight-edge. Punk said that this man is CM Punk, and he stands before you on old-school Raw, and he says what he means and means what he says. And he said this perfectly. At WrestleMania, I beat the streak. Deal with it. That got me excited.
That got me excited, although I was just a little... Again, I didn't really care for the setup. Just because it's eh. I thought it was a fantastic promo, but for me, it's just to see this match, because I've waited for a year for this match, it's just kind of like...
They haven't gotten you yet. They haven't sucked you in yet.
No, they haven't sold me yet.
But he hasn't spoken, so when he speaks, he'll get you closer. Anyway, Randy Orton then interrupted CM Punk. He told Punk not to feel so confident because he's already beaten Punk at WrestleMania. He said Punk has never faced Taker at Mania, but he came close 8 years ago as a rookie. Orton said he's not a rookie anymore, but the most dangerous man in the locker room. He said he would like to ask the audience, who would they rather see face Taker at WrestleMania? Would it be the Orton? Or... And then came the Big Show. He said they're running them off at the mouth about facing Taker at WrestleMania, but they don't have what it takes. Show said he faced Taker years ago, but back then he didn't have, you know, his fist, his knockout punch. Show said if
you did. It's been to attach you for your entire life.
Yes, but he didn't know the power of the punch. You know, when you clinch your fist, you have that power of the punch. He didn't know he had that, you know, for
his... He's been wrestling
life.
For how long and he didn't know he had the power of his fist?
It takes a while for people to learn this.
Apparently.
Show said if you're going to break the streak, you need more than the Viper or Straight Edge. But you need a giant. Show vowed to knock out the 20-0 streak at WrestleMania. Then Sheamus came out. He walked down the ramp saying he's listened to all of them, but he's the only one who's never faced Taker, which means he's the only one who's never lost to him. Sheamus said he's going to take more than a big fist, a GTS, or an RKO to put the dead man down at WrestleMania, but maybe, just maybe, it's going to take a big boot, a big heart, and some luck to achieve the impossible. This then brought out Vicky Guerrero, who announced that, you know, we will have a fatal four-way tonight. And the winner will, you know, go on to WrestleMania to fight The Undertaker and break the streak. You know, and then cement their legacy as the greatest of all the times. Effective opening segment,
but I hate how they settle who's going to get the streak like this. I really, really, really do. Hate it. Cannot stand it. They did it a couple years ago with Shawn. Just, I don't like it. I don't think it's the Raw GM's or anybody GM's prerogative to decide. It should be Taker's, but I don't get a say, so yeah.
You could have touted them.
What, and screamed into the camera like those girls did? Thank you, I'm deaf. There's a ringing in my ear now.
I thought this was an effective segment. Yeah, it's not the build you hoped for, but it's better than what they could have done.
It's better what they could have done, and it's only the setup. I'm hoping it's going to get better. I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to try and let myself get sucked into it, but I hate how they're doing it. Just hate. We came up with way better scenarios.
That's the problem. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, it's like we've been trying to figure out how they're going to do this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and Rock and I have come up with some really, at least in our opinions, really good scenarios on how they could have done this. And it may still come true. We don't know. But it's just right now, it's just like, oh yeah, we're going to have a Fatal 4-Way to determine who gets the Undertaker. It's like, why don't you just have a Battle Royal and just let the fangirls go at it and see who gets him? You know, it'd just be easier.
I was waiting for you come out with theme music and interrupt and say, I want to face, you know, the Undertaker WrestleMania.
Well, I would face the Undertaker WrestleMania, but it wouldn't be anything wrestling related.
What would it be then?
He and I would play checkers.
Why not chess?
Because he can't king me in chess.
There you go. We worked that in. Anyway. We're just here entertaining ourselves right now. Anyway.
That's all this show is, isn't it? Is us entertaining ourselves, isn't it?
Pretty much. Up first, Antonio Cesaro took on the Ryback in a non-title match. Ryback won after countering the neutralizer. Looked like Antonio Cesaro went old school with just basic trunks tonight.
As he did.
He wasn't wearing, you know, the things on his legs or anything. He just went old school blue trunks. A throwback, as it were.
Quote unquote throwback. I was kind of waiting for him to go, my name isn't Antonio, it's Claudio.
You know, solid match this was.
Solid match. Again, Ryback shouldn't be working long matches, but Antonio brought out the best in him, and it was kind of cool to see them struggle with for him to get the neutralizer, even though it's like, you know, he's given it to Kali, and he's given it to a couple other really larger people than Ryback, so it's like he should have gotten Ryback up with no problem.
I guess he wasn't worn down enough. That was the problem. Possibly. Anyway, after the match, Ryback is on his to the way back, and then it gets interrupted by Mark Henry's music. Is this a tease for WrestleMania? A Mark Henry versus Ryback match?
Well, Mark Henry would be the only person Ryback couldn't get up for the, whatchamajigger.
I can't remember her name now. Tell us the finishing move. I know, Shell Shock, there we go.
Shell Shock, there we go.
I lost it for a second. So yeah. Little T is there, so we have Mark Henry coming to the ring, this time without Sexual Chocolate music. Well, he got Sexual Chocolate later on, we'll talk about that. But he was in the ring, scheduled to face off against Zack Ryder.
Poor Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder got destroyed. He wasn't so happy-go-lucky. And he was wearing new tights. It says, push me.
Yeah, because that'll get you attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor. It's poor Zack Ryder at this point. It's, yeah. He's, yeah. It's not looking good for him.
It's really not. I mean, he's just... Poor guy. You feel bad for him, and that's all you can say is just poor if it's Zack Ryder. It's just unfortunate.
It's pretty much at this point.
It's like the guy should have gotten a massive push last year after the Rumble with all the stuff that happened with Kane and how many just absolutely sick bumps he took, but yeah, no, nothing. Then WWE kills his YouTube show, and, you know, it's just like... either let him go or do something with him at this point, you know?
He's going to be in that pre-show match at WrestleMania against catering. It's going to be a five-star classic.
We saw catering on tonight, but that was later in the show.
Yes, but we'll get to there. Up next, we have Dolph Ziggler taking on The Miz. But The Miz was not alone tonight. Oh no, he brought out a person who mixes old school into new school. He brought out the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo!
Although I made that sound when they did like the shot of AJ Lee's backside.
Oh, they got really up close on her backside tonight.
That's my girl crush right there. Yeah. Bad things. Just, yeah, bad things.
Just makes you go, woo!
Yeah, I was like, hello! But it's like, damn, I wish my ass looked like that.
Solid match between these two. The Miz wins with the figure of four. The finish was interesting. Ric Flair tries to attack Big E. And those chops had no effect.
Yet somehow he managed to knock Big E over.
No, that was Miz. Miz took him out. Flair backed away. Miz took him out with a drop kick of some sort through the ropes. And then Miz hit the figure four on Ziggler for the victory. Again, Dolph Ziggler loses, which seems to be the case right now.
Although I will tell you that the best moment in this match was Ziggler selling that figure four.
Oh, tremendous.
It was amazing. He should get an Oscar for that. He just made it look absolutely devastating.
I will totally agree with that. He did make it look devastating.
I mean, good God. Ziggler's just amazing when he sells. And he'll make anybody look good. Like, I'm sitting here watching the match right now because if you've never heard the show before, I'm on a 3-hour delay for Raw. So it's just starting as it's going off the air here. So as it's going off the air for everybody else, it's just starting here. So I have to watch it on a special feed.
Yes.
And yes, I did the air quotes.
Yes.
Yes,
special.
So, I'm sitting here watching the match now, and he's just making Miz look like a million bucks right now.
He does, and you know, for all that, you know, the Ziggler loses here and he loses there, wait till after WrestleMania, he will get his push. You can guarantee that. Hopefully.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts at Mania.
Most likely. But we'll get to that at some point. Anyway, back from break, we have the one, the only, it's the return of the great one. The Rock returns to Monday Night Raw. He talked about how he was in Panama filming his new TNT show this summer. And he talked about, you know, didn't need a jacket, and, you know, how hot it was in Panama, and comes to Buffalo, and it's, sweet Jesus, it's cold. Actually, he said, sweet Harlem shaking, honey boo-booing, it's cold here. Talked about the people's nipples having icicles on them. That's cold, folks.
Yeah, that's pretty cold.
If you have icicles coming off your nipples, it's cold. 50 degrees is not cold. Just pointing that out to somebody in Florida who hosts a show on this network on Saturday night.
We have still have snow on the ground.
Just pointing that out. But, you know, it was finally The Rock has come back to Buffalo. He knew coming to Buffalo, it would mean they're 34 days away from WrestleMania. And then we have John Cena come to the ring. He said, you know, he couldn't, you know, he's sorry for interrupting The Rock, but he just had to come out there. Cena said he's been waiting for this for months, this month for a year. He said The Rock can't know why, because he is Dwayne Johnson. He's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the man who conquered WWE during the Attitude Era before leaving to conquer Hollywood, and has returned to conquer WWE again. He is the WWE champion. Cena said Rock hasn't failed at anything in his life, which means he doesn't understand what it is like to vow to do something and fail. Cena said he needed to win last year at Mania, but he failed. Cena said it made him feel worthless, which then drew a Cena sucks chant from the crowd. Gotta love you, fans. So Rock and Cena listen to those chants, but then Cena noted it makes you feel weak and makes you want to crawl away. Cena said the loss to The Rock put his life in a tailspin. He said after Mania, his life was turned upside down professionally and personally, so he's blaming The Rock for getting divorced. Good one! Cena said he couldn't get over the fact he told these people he would win. Cena said The Rock is responsible for his failure. Cena said it's not coincidence The Rock won the WWE title at the Royal Rumble the same night he won the Royal Rumble. He said it's his shot at redemption. He's been gifted a second chance to right the biggest wrong of his life. Cena told The Rock that he's not throwing this chance away. Alright, before we continue on, thoughts on Cena's part to begin?
Well, aside from blaming The Rock for his divorce, well done. It was a really nice, serious promo. It's exactly what it needed. It brought the tone to where it needed to be. It's like you have The Rock come out, you have The Rock do his shtick, which is what everybody wants to see, or, excuse me, all his fans at least want to see. I didn't care either way. Excuse me, and then you have Cena come out, and they cut the promo for the match to help build the match. And Cena's part of it was very nice. It was very well done.
And then we bring on The Rock. He said he's very happy to see Cena. See that from Cena. He's, you know, that fire, that passion, that desire. He said the man. That's the man who said he was going to beat Punk last week, and he did. Rock said there was only one man The Rock wanted to face at WrestleMania, and that's John Cena. Why? Because he knows what this means to him. Rock knows when Cena's music hits, he salutes, he runs to the ring, he kisses his dog tags, which has all the names of the members of his family on it. He knows it matters and means something to him. But Rock says he knows no one else in the WWE has that same fire and passion except for The Rock. Rock said just as much as it matters to Cena, it matters more to him. Rock said when his music hits, he steps in this ring, he kicks, connects with every single person in the arena from top to bottom and everyone at home. It matters to him. Rock told Cena to get something straight, that he isn't getting his redemption, he's getting his ass kicked. Cena then brought up a quote from Mike Tyson. He said Tyson is responsible for one of the most powerful quotes he has ever heard, and it reminds him of The Rock. In order to be the greatest that ever lived, you have to beat everyone living, Cena said. Cena, he's jumped every roadblock in his entire career except for The Rock. The men got close to one another, and The Rock said, no, no, no. The time is... He also... before I get to that, Cena said, declared that The Rock's time is up and John Cena's time is now. Then The Rock said, no, no, no. It's The Rock's time. It's just getting started, The Rock said. Rock had a quote of his own. Winning is about heart. Just you gotta have it in the right heart, he said. The Rock said, the man who said that was Lance Armstrong. He said, he's full of crap and so are you, Cena. Which was very nice.
That was a fantastic line.
Well played by The Rock. he said Cena thinks he can beat The Rock, but he knows he can beat John Cena in WrestleMania 29. In front of the world, I will beat you again, said The Rock. And then he said, if you smell The Rock's cooking, these two men stared at each other as we went to break. Perfect segment. Perfect.
This was very well done. Very well cut promos by both gentlemen. I applaud them both for it. I liked it. It's giving this feud the air of seriousness that it needs. Seriousness is even a word. But it's giving it that feel that it really should have had last year.
Right.
Where this means something. this matters. They both have something to fight for.
Correct. And this was the promo you needed to start it off. You sold the match right here.
Right.
Because in the weeks to come, you're going to have John Cena cut his promos. The Rock will cut his when he comes back. But they sold them. They sold the promos, the match right here.
Yeah, this isn't about once in a lifetime anymore. This isn't about John Cena and The Rock anymore, you know, just because it's, well, I want to fight you because you were the best. I want to fight you because you were the best. This is them.
It's Cena
fighting. I have something to prove.
Right. Cena's fighting for his redemption.
Right. Which is what we said last night he's probably going to end up doing.
And it was perfect. This was the best promo they could have done to start off the feud.
Oh, I agree.
Sold some pay-per-views, most likely, on that promo alone.
Oh, I would bet, yeah. I would bet.
Up next, we have Jack Swagger in the ring, and then we have Hacksaw Jim Duggan come out with Sergeant Slaughter and Dusty Rhodes.
It's always great to see those three.
And whenever Duggan comes out, you all have to say, ho!
Which had us all looking for Lita, but we couldn't find her.
Lita's not in Buffalo. Thank God. So you have, before this match even gets started, you have Jack Swagger get a hold of the 2x4 and attacks Slaughter with it, attacks Rhodes with it, and attacks Duggan with it, laying them all out, and then puts the Patriot lock on Duggan. All three of these American icons beaten down by the real American Jack Swagger. They tried to put this over as important, and the best way to put it, Coulter didn't talk.
Yeah, they've kind of pulled Zeb back a little bit, and they're letting Swagger shine more, which I suppose is what they need to do, but the best part of this was Mick Foley's tweet concerning it.
Yeah, let me just find that real quick. He had a tweet, where was it? We talk a lot on Skype. Apparently we all do.
Okay. We do.
Yeah, we have a chat going. Oh no! Was so busy tweeting that I forgot to run in and save Sarge, Dusty, and Hacksaw. Vince is going to be hot. Perfect tweet by Mick Foley. That's the perfect tweet. Then, before we get to our next matchup, we have, you know how they hype something in the back. So you have Daniel Bryan and Kane walking to the ring. And just, you know, Daniel Bryan kept the look looking straight ahead, then Daniel Bryan keeps peeking over Kane. Kane looks at him, he turns away, and then does that, like, three times. That was tremendous.
I know, that was so adorable.
Banana man. Everyone out there, picture Daniel Bryan in a banana suit.
Doing the Harlem Shake.
Mm-hmm.
On an airplane.
On an airplane.
Yes, if you haven't seen this, Kane and Daniel Bryan did a couple of interviews for some radio stations in Buffalo, and they were talking about the Harlem Shake, and apparently Kane has seen a video where they do it on an airplane, and there's a guy in a banana suit. And so they were joking that Daniel Bryan carries around a banana suit in his bag, and he's going to turn up doing the Harlem Shake. To which Daniel Bryan asks, what is the Harlem Shake?
Yes. it's tremendous. I should put it up on Facebook tomorrow. So look out for that on Facebook tomorrow at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. So the Flying Goat Kane and Daniel Bryan... the Flying Cow Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kane's the cow, Daniel Bryan's the goat. Anyway, took on the primetime players who had a manager this week. It was the Million Dollar Man.
I love Ted DiBiase's laugh. It's so epic.
It is. It's an epic laugh. There was a We Want Virgil chant that Ted DiBiase did acknowledge in the crowd. This match.
That was fantastic.
Team Hell No, back on the same page, picked up the victory. After the match, Ted DiBiase put a $100 bill and stuffed it in Darren Young's mouth, indicating that, you know, he has no interest in managing the primetime players. Then the best part, as Kane and Daniel Bryan are leaving, Kane starts walking, Daniel Bryan stops, looks back, sneaks back, pulls the money out of Darren Young's mouth, and puts it down his pants, and walks away.
That was fantastic! It's like the expression on Bryan's face was priceless.
Very well, like, done.
Drinks on Bryan! He's got the money!
Indeed. Very much indeed. We come back to Monday Night Raw. We have Brodus Clay and Sweet Tea. Yes, they're calling him Sweet Tea Tensai. And then we had that's right, folks. We had the return of the Honky Tonk Man to Monday Night Raw. He was about to say something, gets interrupted by, of course, Heath Slater. Told him, you know, she should go back to Las Vegas where all the other personators are. He left the ring. We had a match. Didn't last very long. Tensai and Clay win. After the match, they all dance to the Honky Tonk Man's music.
It was great to see the Honky Tonk Man back.
Pretty much. They kept it short, simple, and to the point.
I actually really wanted to see Albert.
Yeah.
Just like, I would have popped so hard if they had Rock come back as old school Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been awesome. Again, we had thoughts and, you know, WWE, you can hire us at any time. Anyway, we are getting set, Lindsay, for the big debut of Fandango.
Yay.
Apparently, you know, no one can say his name right, so he was not debuting tonight. Sorry, Kofi.
Yeah, Kofi kind of got a little screwed.
At least he got to go to the ring on SmackDown. They said, coming up, Fandango will take on Zack. No, not going to happen.
No.
Fandango.
I like the girl. She's got moves. I just wonder how long that's going to last.
Yeah. We'll see. Hey, he's getting some heat, so it's sort of working. So, we then come back to Monday Night Raw. It's the top of the third hour. We get a replay of what happened last week in the fight. And then out comes the game. Triple H, who, you know, made sure the water did not go fall down his back of his head and onto his pants, came to the ring and said this was the first time he stood in the ring with a microphone in his hand since the 8 days after SummerSlam. 8 days after Brock Lesnar beat him at SummerSlam, Hunter said he thought he might have been done at that time, but then the second that cast came off, he was back in the gym tearing it up, but he had no real goal in mind. He was doing his, you know, same old day job as the COO and even cut his hair, but he was training every single day. Hunter said he found himself after a few months in the best shape that he's been in years. Hunter said he's been waiting for that reason to come back. Waiting. Just waiting for that moment. But there was nothing. But then he found himself sitting next to a hospital bed, looking at an old man. Which, you know, when he mentioned that old man must go, you son of a bitch. He looks at the old man who just got done with hip surgery. He said the man who created all of this sat there in a hospital bed with his daughter, his wife, who sat at his bedside crying. His kids, McMahon's grandkids, sat there crying, but he was on the inside smiling because he found a reason to come back. He said when that crazy old man stood in this ring and challenged Paul Heyman to a fight, and Heyman did what he did, turning to Brock Lesnar, Hunter was ready. He said he's not done with Brock Lesnar. Hunter said he is standing here in this ring 5 weeks before WrestleMania to call out Brock Lesnar. He said Brock is usually the guy who stands in this ring doing the destruction, but last week he split Brock wide open. Hunter said he basically called out Brock Lesnar to finish what they started because he's back. The ass kicker is back. The King of Kings is back. The game is back, and he's calling you out for WrestleMania. Hunter asked if Brock's going to show up and fight or just sit there and bleed. Perfect setup.
Oh, badass Triple H. How I have missed thee. Oh, my God. This was a wonderful, wonderful promo by him.
Yes, it was.
And the hair was a little distracting.
Especially that left side.
Especially that left side. I think it's a little uneven, but...
Where it's scarred up a little bit, yeah.
But other than that, this was a wonderful setup for this match. Triple H has still got it. It's very apparent. Yeah, this was perfect. It had just the right tone. He's just the right amount of angry, where he's not completely, totally, you know, spewing fire, but it's, come get it. Let's go. Again, more pay-per-view sold tonight because of that promo.
Indeed, and that's why you had your moneymakers out on the show. There's one nitpick I have of this. Aside from the hair. Michael Cole goes, Brock Lesnar has 18 staples in his head. Triple H goes, Brock, I want you to rub your head and feel where your 12 staples are. Someone didn't get the memo for what was real and what was fake.
Yeah. I noticed that. It's like, oh, crap. But other than that, it was fine.
Other than that nitpick, perfect.
Yeah, it was great. It was very well done. And it's like, oh, I love it when Hunter's just that badass son of a bitch. He's so awesome. It's just like the perfect part for him.
This was a great setup for the match at WrestleMania. So most likely we'll get the response from Brock and Paul next week on Raw. Before we go on to the next segment, the commercial. They were building up Sheamus, you know, what he does in the ring, how he gets onto a bus, and then he pulled out the Bret Hart DVD.
Yes.
Hey, we talked about this on the Rack Thursday night, about the new shop ads, and, well, this was another version of it.
Bravo, WWE. Bravo.
If you missed that show, you can go to the archives right here, wildtalkradio.com, or check them out at our official website, rackradioshow.com.
Yes, we have our own website because we're that special.
Indeed, so check it out. And we'll talk about more on Thursday, all the things you can find on rackradioshow.com. So have a look around. And we come back from break. We get a really interesting promo by The Shield. They introduced themselves. Ambrose said everyone seems to want them to throw their names into the ring to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Rollins chimed in that The Taker isn't the only one riding an impressive unbeaten streak, as everyone needs to remember that they're undefeated. Ambrose said the Eye of Justice is always watching, even Big Show. Reigns says Show got a one cheap shot, but it won't happen again. Ambrose closed by saying, no one can beat them. And then believe in The Shield.
I'm sorry. I thought it would have been really awesome at the end of the show is you have the four-way, because it's like, Sheamus and Orton are in this match. So you have The Shield come out, plus Punk. You have The Shield come out. You think they're going to interfere on Punk's behalf, just to kind of reference back to that a little bit. They take everybody out. And they closed the show with The Shield saying, screw you all, we want Taker at Mania. That would have been so cool!
But it did not happen, but we'll get to what happened at the end of the show in just a little bit. Next in singles competition is champion versus champion. Alberto Del Rio took on Wade Barrett.
Solid match.
Jinx.
By the joke.
Solid match between the two. Swagger was there, looking on. Del Rio won by submission. You know, nothing more to say, you know. They're slowly building this up, this battle between Del Rio and Swagger.
They're slowly building it, but it's just, it's like, eh?
We got another video package from the YouTube series We the People. You can find it probably on YouTube. Up next, we have the return of...
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
That's right, it's the return of the New Age Outlaws. I love the Road Dogg.
His stick is amazing. I love it.
The best part before his normal stick was he did Hunter's stick.
Yes, he did.
He goes, "Are you ready?" And he goes, "I know you're ready. I was just ribbing you." That was tremendous.
I would bet that was a dare. I would almost bet that was a dare.
Probably was. And that was perfect. They did their routine. Road Dogg is always on point. They took on Primo and Epico. They destroyed Primo and Epico. I wouldn't mind seeing the Outlaws again.
No, I will say, I have missed the Outlaws. They are just tremendous.
They still get the crowd involved with the jive in that Road Dogg does. This crowd still connects to it. It was tremendous.
Yeah, Kane Kittens, you weren't the only one that wished they had faced Road Scholars.
No, the Road Scholars were on Superstars instead. Maybe they're saving that match. Maybe.
Don't get your hopes up.
No, I'm not. We then have Mae Young's birthday celebration. We had everyone out there from the roster, just about, minus a few. There's a big happy birthday Mae Young, bunch of cakes. Mark Henry is there in the middle.
He gave her a hug. That was so sweet.
Mean Gene injured came out. They introduced, brought out Mae Young. Yeah, Mark Henry gave her a hug. And then was interrupted by CM Punk. Thank God. Because it could have gotten really bad.
That was just a fantastic waste of cake and ice cream. I'm so disappointed. Or cake and icing. So disappointed.
So yeah, they brought out Mae Young. Technically, her birthday is the 12th of this month. But, you know, it's old school Raw. They brought in Mae Young. This is what they did with her. You know, she kept her clothes on.
Thank God.
It's the most important part.
I think that's what everybody was doing when Ric Flair and Mae Young came out. It's like, oh God, please keep your clothes on. Please.
So, you know, well, yeah. Mae Young kept her clothes on. Anyway. Tom, if you want to see Mae Young naked, well, there are some DVDs out there that have her on, you know, showing her things on camera. You might want to go check them out. Just put it down.
Her things? Her things!
Can you really call them boobs?
Yes, they're still boobs! They're just old!
They're old and all the way. Anyway. Main event time, Fatal 4-Way, with the winner getting a shot at The Undertaker at WrestleMania. You have CM Punk, Randy Orton, Big Show, and Sheamus. Fine match.
It was a good match. Again, just not high on it.
The biggest complaint I have is the crowd. What the hell? Buffalo? You guys were terrible crowd.
They weren't really into much of anything.
And while this was a really good show. They just sat on their hands.
And what's weird is, like, they were all tweeting, oh, the crowd's really hot in Buffalo, and maybe they were hotter live than they were on the show. I don't know. Maybe they kind of minimized the crowd noise. I can't tell. But yeah, it's like, this was actually a pretty good match. It was pretty exciting. The finish was nice, but it's like, you know, they weren't really into anything. It's like, even when The Rock came out, usually The Rock gets a huge pop. And he didn't really, he just kind of sort of got a meh. Same with Hunter.
Yeah, it was, you know, and Taker got a little bit more louder of a pop, but we'll get more into Taker in a minute. The beginning of this match was good, though, with Punk.
Yes.
Him trying to crawl out of the ring.
Yes, he gets in the ring and he bumps into Big Show and he's like, shit!
Yeah. Then he got knocked around a bit. Then Orton and Sheamus hit some moves. He stole the pin. Sheamus chased him out, and then he tries crawling out the ring. It was tremendous. The look on his face was priceless. You know, the match. Punk, of course, wins with the GTS on Randy Orton out of nowhere. So Punk is going to WrestleMania. Out came the Undertaker. We have a stare down between Taker and Punk. As the Monday Night Raw concludes. This is your cue.
I'm just trying to compose my thoughts. Yeah. It was a great match. It was a very, very, very good match. I'm just...
You're not sold yet.
No, I'm not sold yet, and the scenarios that we were coming up with, I liked a lot better just because they were something that would sell me. And it's, they've been doing this viral stuff with The Undertaker, and if you tell me that it wasn't a plant with the hockey game and with the house show, then I call bullshit on you because I'm convinced in my little head that those were setups, those were plants to get the buzz about The Undertaker out there. To get us going, where is Taker? And for us to be looking for him. And it's, I like the fact that, you know, when they started the show, The Undertaker comes out, and before we get to see what he's going to do, they go to the entrance of the show, the opening of the show, and then when they come back, he's gone, and it's like there. You know, it's like everybody's been clamoring for The Undertaker. We've been asking for The Undertaker, and it's like there. We gave you The Undertaker on Raw, and that's all you're going to get.
They played the teasing game tonight. They didn't let him speak. They didn't give her the hair. They just teased her.
They just teased us. And it's... I actually... The more I thought about it, the more I liked it. And it's like, that was actually really good because then it's... Oh, hi, WWE coming to Salt Lake commercial. I love you. Sorry.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's... They haven't sold you yet, and... Wait until he talks.
That's the thing. I don't know if he's going to talk yet. The scenario that we came up with was that basically Taker doesn't make the challenge or Punk doesn't make the challenge until like the week before. Where it's the scenario that we came up with last night that we really liked was basically you have Punk going on and on and on and on saying he's God, saying he deserves to be at Mania. Nothing happens with Taker until like the week before. Where Taker... makes a challenge to Punk. And Punk says, well, we're going to do it on my time. We're going to do it by my rules. And I'm going to decide when we have the match, his usual thing. And then he either beats Taker down on Raw and says, okay, well, I changed my mind. I'll see you Sunday. Or they do something even at WrestleMania Access where Taker's doing a signing. So you have Punk show up at the signing towards the end, maybe Taker's walking out the door or something, and Punk beats him down and leaves him laying, like the night before Mania, and says, I'll see you tomorrow. That kind of thing. And they could still do it.
Now that we put it on there, you know, it's now in their head and it'll actually show up on TV.
Yeah, because they still listen to us.
Of course they do.
Yeah, of course they do. But, you know, it's to just have everybody be like, well, I want to face The Undertaker. Well, I want to face The Undertaker. It's like, it's 5 weeks out. Why weren't you having this argument after Rumble? Or why haven't you been having this argument the whole time? It's like, you know, just everybody, it's like it takes him to show up. Oh, I love his hands. You can tell exactly where we are in Raw. But it's like, it takes him to show up for them to suddenly go, oh, The Undertaker! Everybody forgot about The Undertaker. Who's going to face him for a streak? So it's just, yeah, the whole thing, it's like, I applaud them for trying something different, and I'm curious to see if they continue that going forward. But to just do a fatal four-way, where it's, oh yeah, we're just going to have four guys wrestle over The Undertaker. And Vicky sets the match. I think that's the biggest thing that irritated me, is Vicky sets the match. It's not Taker gets to decide, it's Vicky sets the match. And I think one of the things I really would have loved to have seen is Taker walks out at the end of the show like he did, and he looks at CM Punk and he goes, no. And walks off.
And put the little doubt in people's head.
Yeah.
That would work.
Or not had Taker show up tonight at the beginning of the show and had, you know, Punk do a spiel. And then they all do that spiel of, well, you know, it's like Punk in his desperation. It's like, well, there's still one more thing I can do to get to Mania. I can challenge The Undertaker. And it just, yeah, it just, it didn't click for me. And it hasn't clicked yet. And I'm sure in 5 weeks I'll be sold and I'll be looking forward to it. But right now it's just meh.
So that Monday Night Raw, after the show, on the WWE app, you remember, they have an app, so you might as well get the app. If you don't have it, I don't have it. So, but I do know this, the Shield attack Big Show after the show, and then laid him out with a triple powerbomb.
That was impressive.
Yes, and hopefully they put it on TV so people can actually see it. So, In any event, that was Monday Night Raw in a nutshell.
Very, very good show overall.
Better than the first old school Raw. Because I rewatched it the other yesterday. This had a better flow to it. And there was more importance with this show.
This wasn't the throwaway show that everybody was expecting it to be. This helped to push a lot of their storylines while intermixing the legends, intermixing the nostalgia of the old sets and the old costumes and the characters and that kind of thing. And that really, that helped, but it still was used to push for the storylines, which was great.
With all the eyes on them tonight, they sold some pay-per-views.
Probably, yes.
So with that being said, this has been another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, we will have Sugar Dunkerton and Matt Bourne, a.k.a. Dunk the Clown, one of the Dunk the Clowns, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, just another The Goddamn Wrestling Show with Scott Barry, Brian Blatty, and the Cheap Wood Paneling. Get well, Jed, is what we're going to say right now. Thursday night is The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, please don't confuse our show. Please.
I had Kayfabe on the mind, sorry.
Yes, tune in Thursday for Impact Wrestling Talk. We're going to be previewing this Sunday's lockdown. Can't believe it's really here. I'm actually excited to see it. So tune in, listen. We're going to be talking all about Impact, all about lockdown, and we have discussions, which we haven't come up yet. So if you'd like to send us anything, please tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, go to Rack Radio Show, and submit ideas under the Contact Us link. And, of course, you can always send them to media at wildtalkradio.com.
Yes, that's rackradioshow.com. You can win an autographed picture of Kurt Angle if you play in our pick'em game. Go to the Facebook group and leave your picks for TNA Lockdown. Tune in Thursday for more details. You can email them to media at wildtalkradio.com. Thanks to our friends at memlinepromo.com for the autograph. Friday night, Mace plays video games around 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, it's the spring ahead edition of CP Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. So we talk about the weird, the wacky, and the usual. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 o'clock Eastern, to recap everything that happened to TNA Lockdown. and recap the week that was in pro wrestling. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com as Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the group, Wild Talk Radio Network. WTRProductions.net.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check it out. Go to CassidyRiley.net. Please check it out. Buy his merchandise. He would appreciate it. You can check out my portfolio at linzward.deviantart.com. And, of course, please go check out rackradioshow.com. We worked very hard on it. We'd like you to look at it. Thank you. And listen to all the other fine programming on the network. And visit the sponsors.
Yes, pwmedia.com, memlinepromo.com. We will see you next week for another edition of the Raw Post Show. We'll see you Thursday night. Will Lindsay and I are for the rack. And stay tuned. WTRF's return, the WrestleMania edition. So until then, for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday night right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're all together, all together, all together.
Yeah. Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be.
WildTalkRadio.com